Blog Talk Radio.
God loves you. Did you know that? He does. It says in the Bible that God has been in love with man since the beginning of time. In fact, eternity. For the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. But we know that Christ has given us everything that we need because Christ is the image of God, the express image of God. God is God incarnate. Jesus came to show us God and to really show us what he's like. He came about healing and performing signs, wonders, and miracles. He raised Lazarus from the dead and a few others. He showed us in his teaching that God is love and that he wants us, mankind, to be in fellowship, knowing God. But it happened when Jesus died on the cross that the will, the testament, the covenant of God was put in place. Because when Jesus died, God was satisfied with his life and death and raised him from the dead by giving him resurrection. By this we know that God was pleased with Jesus, and now he sees us all through the Son, Jesus Christ. He sees us because God is love, and it's his nature to give us grace and mercy and love and peace. We can now have the peace of God, peace with God, and the peace of God, all because Christ was resurrected and 2,000 years ago completed the finished work of God at Calvary. It was God's pleasure to have fellowship again with man because of the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. That fall, the purpose of God through it was to redeem mankind. And Jesus said it right when, in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter it without being born again. We're given a natural life, but then again, Jesus calls us to a higher calling of a life lived in fellowship with God, of knowing God through the Son, Jesus Christ. And when he died, this sacrifice, he became our sin for us, and he's for us. Not that he hates sin, but he knows sin is bad for us because it will kill us eventually. But he knows that death has been no longer an enemy because Jesus conquered death on the cross. When he rose again, he took keys from Satan so that we can have a forever life, a born-again life, a life of abundance because of Christ's work at Calvary that is finished. When he said, it is finished on the cross, he said, tetelestai, in a Greek word, that means the end of a process. And we know that in all things, God works together for the good of them that love God, that are chosen according, called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now he that spared not his Son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And we know that Christ hath given us all things, and he's for us, he's not against us. And his love is there to prove it. Because on Calvary, he loved us while we were still sinners, Romans 5, 7, 8, and 9. We know that we can exult in the glory of God, even in tribulation, because we've been justified by his blood. We have peace with God now, and we can be satisfied and rejoice in God's love for us, in that some would dare to die for a righteous man, more so for a good man. Maybe not for a righteous man, but for a good man. Some might dare to die. But God's love was such that he died for us while we were still sinners. He gave us Christ, the gift of salvation. The faith in Christ is what gives us hope in the eternity, forever time afterlife. Because we know that faith in God is what we're talking about. Love for God that gives us a love for his will, a love for God's honor. A love in our life for the will of God to be performed through us and in us. And we know the move of God is such that he works within us. His beliefs are working their way through us if we're born again. Now, unless we realize that the law is impossible to keep, but we won't realize that we're sinners because that's what we are. Original sin as well as sin that we have committed in our lifetime. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen something or thought an impure thought? Then you're deserving of hell because God says he is holy and we must be holy. But we can't if we're just running in circles in frustration trying to reach God when we're in a sinful state, a sinful nature inside. Now, Nazi Germany should show us that we have a sinful nature. Even the riots in Baltimore or L.A. from years ago. And we know that Christ has given us what it takes now. If we're willing to submit to him and say, call ourselves a sinner, call ourselves undone, a failure before God, wrong in his sight, knowing that Christ came to give us new life so that we can say, Christ is how God sees us now. That perfect life of Christ is how God sees us. And it's not just Christ that sees us that way, but God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Because God gives you the Holy Spirit when you become born again, when you ask him for salvation and the atonement and freedom from this life of sin. He gives you a new nature with a new heart that has love, joy, and peace, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, self-control. In other words, he helps you to have the moderation that allows you to live a life free from sin, because he takes all your sins away when you ask him for that forgiveness, that salvation from sin. And it's all because of what Christ has done on the cross, because Christ's finished work was done 2,000 years ago on the cross approximately. And you know that when we have Christ in our hearts, we're able to love one another, we're able to love God foremost, and love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. On these two commandments, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. And Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall fail from the law until these things be done, completed. Because Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of sin and death has been conquered by the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus. And what the law could not do, Christ did in us. So that's how we subjectively have to look at ourselves now that we have admitted that we're sinful and sinners, and now that we want to have Christ inside. We invite the Lord. We know that God's invitation is his constant pull into his heart, into himself. And we must accept that invitation, accept his fellowship, and run into God's heart, knowing God through the Son, Jesus Christ. And when you become born again, you can go to a Bible-believing church, you can follow Christ, follow God, live by the words of Christ, because Christ enables you to do the do's without leaving out anything and not doing the don'ts. And you know when you have that ability to be lying on your pillow with a clean conscience at night, a clear conscience, a pure conscience, knowing that your hands will grow strong because you're living purely, and you know that Christ himself is within you, you can still live in this world being persecuted, but still doing the right things and live right living, knowing that when you're in living before God in his sight and under his eyes, and when he sees you, he has his favor upon you, and he sees you because you put your faith in Christ. You gaze upon that cross, and you realize that you can deny yourself, take up your own cross, and follow Christ. And in this, God is pleased, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, Jesus has been quoted in the Old and New Testament as saying. And God himself and the angel of the Lord appeared many times to the prophets and saints in the Old Testament, particularly Manoah and Abraham and Gideon, but many times they failed to understand that God was saying the just shall live by faith. So instead of being an addicted person to habits in this life, we can have a new life, of abundance in Christ. Because we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And when Christ comes back, we'll have that ability to seek out, we'll have the ability to go up in the clouds with him, meet him in the air. Because there's going to be 7 years of tribulation on this world, on this earth, when Christians are gone. And really, it's impossible to imagine all the Christians disappearing, but that's exactly what's in Scripture, in the New Testament and the Old. Now, there's many Scriptures, in fact, say 200 or 300 Scriptures that predicted Jesus' first coming, and there's twice as many Scriptures about his second coming. And you can bet that God's going to do that. He's going to have 7 years of tribulation. First 3.5 years will be miserable, but the last 3.5 years of that seven will be even more miserable by a great number of margin times. So we know multiplication. So we know that when the 7 years are over, Jesus will set up his kingdom on this earth. Jesus will return with all of us on white hot chargers. And Jesus himself, with the leading the way and his breath of his mouth, will conquer this world and its enemies of God. And such will the Lamb will lay down with the lion, and will have perfect peace on the earth as Jesus reigns with an iron rod for 1,000 years. And when that 1,000 years is up, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth where there's righteousness. And we know that no tears in heaven. There'll be no crying, and there'll be no darkness there, no sea. We'll have ability to have a new resurrected body, but won't be able to sin, but won't be bored. In fact, we may even populate some planets out there in the universe. But Jesus' resurrected body will be like what ours will be, too, because he was able to eat breakfast and dinner. He was able to walk through walls and disappear and travel great distances. We know that that was done by God himself to show us that eye hath not seen, ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you want to have the Holy Spirit? You can ask God for Jesus to come inside, and you will be born again, full of the Spirit of God for the first time. You could spend that time on your knees talking to God about how much his love is for you and how much you want to change and repent and turn from your wicked ways, turn from the sin. And we go that even because of our nation's been running from God, we need a cleansing in this nation. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know from day to day sometimes. But we know that Christ holds the future. He holds us all in his palm of his hand. Now, if we want to be sure of heaven, we've got to have this relationship with God through the Son, Jesus Christ. And when he comes back, he'll recognize you as one of his own. He does now through the Holy Spirit. In fact, we cry out, Abba, Father. We know that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God if we've come to him, Son, for salvation. And we know that they that are filled with the Spirit of God are led and guided by God, and he guides us with his eye, Jesus says. So let us walk with the King, as Robert A. Cook, my old president of King's College, used to say, and be a blessing. How in the world are you? Because we know Jesus is coming back soon. You got to be ready. We got to have our lamps filled, our lights burning. We got to be good stewards of what God has given us. We got to be feeding the saints, feeding the sheep, tending the sheep, because we're all pastors of somebody. We're all discipling somebody. But Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe everything I have said and done, and go and make disciples of all nations. So in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and we know God's invitation is a great invitation, and we must all know that God is real, God is there, and we must love him with all our heart.